This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, as you know, we've been tackling the current issues of the day and how to live a Christ-centered life in our contentious times. This is still all part of our series on being the church and how to live with a God-centered, or if you prefer, Christ-centered worldview. 2 weeks ago, we dug into how racism is a sin, and last week we talked about how Jesus doesn't have a political party. This week, our opening scripture passage is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So today we're talking about praying for our leaders. It means all of our leaders, even the ones we don't like. Now, I know this is difficult for some people because there are some elected officials we can't stand. And we've had some doozies in the last 30 years or so. Which ones were the doozies depends on your perspective, I'm sure. But yes, the picture we get from the media makes this a challenge. There are some elected officials who get good press, and there are those who don't. Whatever the case, we're charged by this passage to pray for all of our elected officials, period. And again, Scripture tells us to pray for those who are in leadership. And this doesn't mean praying Psalm 109, verses 7 through 8. "When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer be counted as sin. Let his days be few, and let another take over his position." That's not praying for your leaders, praying that they will be tactfully removed from the picture. And I'll tell you, this is a challenge, for me especially. And some of you know I have some very strongly held views on things. And it's tempting to believe that the one who occupies the White House or leads Congress or who lives in the governor's mansion is a cad, a bounder, and only slightly better than Ahab and Jezebel. But the scriptures say for us to pray for them, whether you like them or not, and for good reason. If we pray for their conversion, according to this passage, or for the leaders and elected officials to live godly lives, and if God so ordains it according to his sovereign will to answer the prayer positively, those folks will suddenly govern righteously. And we'll get the blessing of that tranquil and quiet life. We'll have more on that later. But praying for godliness in our leaders is right because Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." But at the same time, let's remember the passage says, "and all those who are in authority." Truthfully, this is an eye-opener because the passage just isn't about politicians. It's for all who are in authority. That means our supervisors or our team leaders, our pastors, our principals, our directors, our shift leaders, and anyone else who has a responsible position of authority, be it political, spiritual, commercial, scientific, or educational. So, how do we pray for those who have leadership positions? And even the ones with whom we may passionately disagree or even resent? Well, here are some things we can pray. First, we pray that our leaders will seek God's direction. What can be better than a leader who seeks the Lord's direction and wisdom? Solomon in Proverbs 16:1 wrote, "The reflections of the heart belong to mankind, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Verse 3 adds, Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And verse 9, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. Good leaders, be they team leaders or presidents, seek the Lord and commit their way to Him. The Lord will work out the details. So we pray that our leaders will seek God's direction. The next thing is we pray that our leaders won't be prideful. Every one of us here has worked with someone who thought he or she knew all the answers. These are the ones whose first answer to many questions is, "Because I said so." We can delve into the psychology and say these folks are actually insecure because they're trying to be domineering to cover it up. But it's difficult working for someone like this. A good verse that goes with this is in the same chapter. Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord." Detestable? That's a strong word. But this verse says that a prideful leader who is full of him or herself is detestable to God. So let's pray for them that they won't be full of themselves and prideful. Next, we pray that our leaders are peacemakers. Jesus is the one who has the best word on this, of course, because in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." One is a true leader who is able to have concern for the team members' well-being. They're not threatened by opposing views. The peacemaking leader is also an intercessor who compassionately mediates disputes between members of his or her team. This leader bridges the gaps and restores his or her staff and or employees to good relations. This helps the team function and get the job done. So we pray our leaders will be peacemakers. We pray that our leaders will be just. To be just means to see both sides and not to favor one employee, team member, or constituent over another one. It means to be balanced in their views. It means to uphold the highest principles and ethics in how they lead and how they do their jobs and how they make decisions. It also means modeling that level of integrity to those on their team or those in their respective jurisdictions, districts, states, or countries. Good leaders do things the right way with justice and don't try to get over on anyone or exploit someone who's in a weaker position. We pray that our leaders will surround themselves with wise counselors and are humble enough to listen to them. Good leaders don't surround themselves with yes men who will go along with every decision the leader makes, regardless of how foolish it may be. Good leaders surround themselves with capable, talented, and honest counselors, staff people, and advisors who will be honest enough to disagree with the leader when they believe the leader may be going off on the wrong track. The wise writer of Proverbs wrote in Proverbs 15:22 that plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. We pray that our leaders will always be learners. Have you ever worked with a know-it-all? They believe in their own infallibility. That person should not be in a leadership position, to say the least. So we pray that our leaders will believe the truth of Proverbs 1:7 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." A leader who has the proper biblical fear of the Lord will be committed to the Lord and be committed to learning new ways to do things, new ways to get things done. Any leader who thinks they don't need to keep learning is full of him or herself. And we know that the Lord, what the Lord thinks about that. We pray that our leaders or supervisors will have humble hearts. Peter tells us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. This doesn't mean being weak or indecisive. This doesn't mean being milquetoast, a doormat, in other words. This does mean that good leaders know their weaknesses and are willing to accept correction or at least suggestions on how to overcome those weaknesses. And the suggestions can even come from those he or she leads, if it's a good one, A good leader will listen with humility. We also pray that our leaders will have kind hearts. Genesis 50:21 has Joseph saying, "Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph was the leader of all of Egypt, but he didn't let that status go to his head, and he could have easily gotten revenge on his brothers, because remember, they sold him into slavery. But instead, Joseph spoke kindly to them. Good leaders understand the situation and are also able to speak productively when they have to impose discipline also. Good leaders use the right words, are able to speak graciously to others, even in difficult situations. We pray that our leaders will be slow to anger. At one point or the other, we've all seen cartoonish portrayals of the stereotypical angry boss. This person yells, berates with savage insults those who work for him or her. They put other people down. They get angry over the least little thing. And if they think that their status is threatened, they get even more angry. The scripture says that a wise person of any kind, supervisor or leader or subordinate, is slow to anger. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." So there are likely other traits of good leadership, and we can probably add to this list almost indefinitely, but these are the ones we're just going to cover today. Granted, it will take a long time to pray for our leaders and elected officials and others if we pray through all of these characteristics. So the suggestion would be to take one or two of those things and pray for those leaders for just those one or two things and do that each day. Because we're commanded by Scripture to pray for those who are in leadership, any leadership position. So take one or two and pray for that person or those leaders to have those characteristics. And we're going to do that during our prayer times here when we get to that. To pray for the leaders to have one or two of these characteristics. And we're going to try to remember to do that. Because there are two good reasons we should do it. One, Scripture tells us to. That's the first thing. But then Paul says, so that we may lead a good, quiet, and tranquil life with all godliness and dignity. And at the same time, pray for those leaders, if they don't know Jesus, to be saved. Because this same passage tells us that God wants people to be saved. Amen? So we pray for that. And if the leaders get saved, if they're not, they will have God's wisdom available to them. And then we will see that transformation in our culture, praying for those leaders, whether they're in elected office or whether they're the supervisor for whom we work. So it's a sure thing that when we follow this passage and we do it faithfully, those results will be good. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.